electric radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
All right, we're back now, and we're going to take a couple of calls, maybe, and if you'd like to get on the line quickly and make your question for Dr. Beeman, that would be fine. 800-313-9443 is the number, and as you can see, he is quite literate, quite educated, quite articulate and knowledgeable, and I guess I should say something that most of the people that we talk about in government today are not. So it's politically appointed, and that's the way it is. Now, Bill, let me ask you, going back to your statement about Iran's terrible nuclear threat to blow the world up. Now, that's been another major, major cliche and one-liner bumper sticker statement that, of course, people have embedded in their minds, again, from mass hysteria and brainwashing. How untrue is that, and how is it possible that Iran would even want to develop it? Isn't that against the Quran and Islamic law?
Well, your listeners should understand that the Iranian nuclear program was actually started by the United States. It was started actually as far back as the Eisenhower administration.
Mm-hmm.
It was really ramped up during the Kennedy administration, where the United States had a program called Atoms for Peace.
Yes.
Where they were trying to sell nuclear reactors to the rest of the world. I attended an event in 1970 where the United States brought prototypes of nuclear reactors to Iran in a big, big, big exposition hall for everybody to see these nuclear plants from Westinghouse and GE and other organizations. The Shah had to be convinced that nuclear power was a good idea, but he was told that if Iran was going to be a modern nation, it had to have a nuclear energy program. Mm-hmm. So he bought into it and planned for 14 nuclear plants throughout Iran. This was for the future when Iran's oil and gas reserves would possibly be depleted. So the United States has known about Iran's nuclear energy program for a long, long time. And the idea that somehow Iran developed all of this stuff in secret is, again, a total lie. Iran actually sent its young people to the United States to develop, to be educated as nuclear engineers. In fact, Iran's current chief nuclear policy engineer went to MIT. And was a classmate of our own nuclear policy engineer during the Obama administration. So this is not a situation where anything was hidden. Then Iran had never developed any kind of plan to develop nuclear weapons. The idea that Iran was developing nuclear weapons was a fantasy that was ginned up by the Bush administration because during the Bush administration they wanted once again to try to create regime change in Iran. And they knew that the only way that they would be able to get the approval of the American public was to claim that Iran was a nuclear threat. just as they had claimed that Iraq was a nuclear threat in order to justify the invasion of Iraq.
Yes.
So they decided they were successful in getting the getting approval for the invasion of Iraq based on false information about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, and they decided to go back to the well and use the same argument in order to try to gin up some kind of regime change in Iran. And this is the history of the development of our fantasies about Iran creating a nuclear weapon.
It's all about fear and paranoia, isn't it, and how you can lead people. Yeah. All right, we have a couple of callers online who'd like to ask you a question or so and make a comment, and we'll take their calls while we have a few moments today.
Sure.
1-800-313-9443. And we have Kent, I believe, first up in West Virginia. Hello, Kent. Come on up.
Sure.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, he's right about the talent. I watch Press TV and quite a bit, and I am really stunned by the creativity and the talent and the graphics and the presentation on Press TV. And he's right about their pride and their food and the beautiful food and the architect, you know, the historical stuff. So I really encourage everybody to watch Press TV. It's extremely impressive. I mean, it's really dazzling stuff. And
sure.
It's kind of odd seeing the women wear wearing headscarves, but you're used to that. But I lived in the Washington, D.C. area in the 70s, and excuse me, and there were quite a few Iranian students at the time, and there was sort of this murmuring about, quote-unquote, professional students, they'd be, you know, in their mid-20s or something, and there was always this talk that their daddies was, you know, well-fixed, and they were just doing a few classes, and you know, and they'd get the visa. But I actually saw what was reputed to be the Shah of Iran during the Ford administration coming out of Blair House. And I'm telling you, the place was such a clampdown. There were more people watching me than there were there watching the Shah. I mean, it was... And about a year later, or a little shortly, during the Carter administration, the whole area, Lafayette Square, which is just adjacent to Blair House, was just run amok with rioting Iranian students and park police on Mountain Park police and everything. And it was just amazing the change. Something went on behind the scenes. And then what happened, of course, this was a time in inflation, and there was a lot of talk about Persian rug being investment. But I lived in Bethesda, Maryland, and there was a street there, Wisconsin Avenue, and I think every third storefront was a Persian rug shop. And I think all those students had probably lost their you know, student visas and somehow finagled getting in. You know, they had storefronts selling these Persian rugs. I never saw anybody in them, but there were quite a few of them. So it's interesting to see the transition. But somebody pulled the rug out from under the Shah big time, I think, you know.
Okay, well any comments, Bill?
Thank
you for your call.
Okay. Thank you so much. We should be clear about this. The Shah was used very heavy-handed violations of human rights in order to be able to prop up his regime.
Yeah.
The student protests were against the imprisonment and torture of people who resisted his regime. The sad part of this for the United States is that the CIA was complicit. The CIA was active in Iran. They knew about the torture. They knew about the imprisonment. And they did nothing, nothing at all, to curtail the heavy-handed activities of the Shah's regime. We complain about human rights in Iran today, and there's no question that human rights in Iran are a very serious concern. Iran still jails and tortures political dissent, people who are engaging in political dissent in Iran. But the tradition of doing this dates to before the revolution. We have to remember that the same chief of police was involved in Louis XVI in the French Revolution and the post-revolutionary period in France. Same guy. And in many ways, the Iranian Secret Service never missed a beat. They worked under the Shah, and they worked under the revolutionary government, and they're still active today. Human rights concerns in Iran are very, very serious. And even those people who are supportive of better relations with Iran will tell you that that they too are very, very concerned about this, as am I.
Well, and also the Savak, I believe it was. Was that the torture group that was under the Shah?
That was the Savak, yep.
The Savak,
Now it's called Savama, but it's the same. It's the same people. And they've simply changed their uniforms. But
say dissent, anybody who may be involved in dissent, does that mean just saying I don't agree with the government, or does that take more sinister tones, like engaging in violence or some breaking of Islamic law? I mean, what does it qualify to be considered to be a dissident worthy of torture?
Let me, I'm sorry, this is going to be a long-winded explanation. I'll try to make it very short.
All right, then we'll take the call.
During the time of the revolution, there were three groups that were competing for leadership of the country. One was the religious groups. Khomeini was the head of that. The others were secular nationalists who were briefly in charge and were eventually purged. And the third were leftist groups, so-called Islamic Marxists. And they are still active in Iran today. We have the MEK, or the sometimes called the MKO, the Mujahideen-e Khalq. These are people who are who John Bolton, by the way, has met with on a regular basis and has promised that the United States will install once the Iranian government has been eliminated.
Wow.
The Iranian government is totally paranoid about the threats to their own regime, the threats coming from the United States, from the CIA, which intervened in the past, from Israel, which has infiltrated spies into Iran from Mossad. We know this, and has assassinated Iranian nuclear technicians. We know that the Israelis have done this. So the Iranian government is on a hair trigger. They are paranoid, and they have a tendency to overreact. They've arrested a lot of people who are really quite innocent, but who could be construed to be a threat to the government.
Very interesting. Good answer, you know, and that's what I like about you, is because you don't care, you know, I'm ideologically speaking, right, left, whatever. You're simply giving us some factually documentable evidence of what we're talking about. And that's something you cannot get from most of the media today, the mainstream, blamestream media. And that's sad, because we're people to see this and hear this, they might rock some boats in Washington, you see. All right, let's take another call. Bill from Wisconsin, I believe an old professor here. Hello, Bill. You're up with Bill Beam.
Yeah, thank you, Rick, and thank your guest. I appreciate many of his comments about Iran. I was going to mention, the motorcycle bombers that were occurring in Iran, where
Assad.
A motorcycle would come up to an automobile that was transporting a nuclear scientist or a scientist in Iran, and they'd slap a bomb on it and then zip away. So that was appropriate here. I would say Mossad and also CIA involved in that, as well as the Stuxnet attack, cyber attack, on the Iranian, system over there. I would like to go back very quickly, though, to your very early comments about Assad, and saying that, there are problems with him and this and that, and I would disagree. Why would Bashar al-Assad, all of a sudden, when he's winning the war against ISIS, why would he use so-called chemical weapons, by the way, made by Merck, I understand, against his own people? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense at all, and it gives credence to these so-called cosmetic attacks that benefit no one else but Israel.
Well, I don't think we said that we accused him of doing that. I don't think the verdict has ever
No, you didn't, Rick. He made a statement that, you know, and he didn't say that Assad did this, okay, but he said there are problems.
How do we know anything?
Okay, well, let me go back and talk a little bit about Mr. Assad. Bashar al-Assad is an ophthalmologist. He was thrust into this position. He had no desire, really, to be the leader of Syria. His father, Hafez al-Assad, was, in fact, a very heavy-handed ruler of that country. One of the reasons is that the Assad family are Alawites. They are a small branch of Shiism. The Alawites came to power in the military and eventually took over the country. But their difficulty is, and it's been alluded to several times, and I was very happy to hear General Mattis say this because it shows that he understands something, and that is that the Assad regime is a minority population that is ruling over a majority of Sunnis. Whenever you get a minority ruling over a majority, you've got problems. And almost the only way that they can... This is also true in Iraq. The Sunnis are a minority in Iraq, and with Saddam Hussein being a Sunni, he was only able to rule Iraq through repression. And the Assads also have only been able to rule Syria through repressive measures dating back to the father of Bashar al-Assad. Yeah. I do not believe that Bashar has much control over the government in Syria. I think it's primarily the generals in the army who have been directing things, and they've let him be the front person for the activities that have taken place.
It sounds like Trump here.
That's what I was going to say.
Somewhat.
Sounds exactly like what's going on in our country.
Yeah. So Bashar has to bear responsibility because he is the leader. But I don't believe that he's the person who's really directing these military activities. I don't think he wakes up in the morning and says, "Go send a chemical weapons toward something or other." And of course, the Syrian government has maintained on numerous occasions that these attacks are not coming from the government; they're coming from the rebel groups that are trying to direct negative publicity toward the government.
Well, they would have the excuse. Certainly, Kibono is a question that should be asked.
But your question, your observation is correct. Why would they do it? And I think we don't have a good answer to that. What has happened is that things moved very quickly. The attack took place, and the United States decided that they were going to react immediately to this attack without any investigation of how it took place or under what circumstances. So again, I'm not making any apologies for the Assad regime. Maybe they did it, maybe they didn't do it, but the Trump administration decided to take advantage of this situation in order to launch an attack that was going to make President Trump look good.
All right, thank you for the call. I appreciate your call, Bill. Also, another point that might be made here, and let's see now, what was I think I've lost my thought, but I think what we're heading at here, I know exactly what I was going to say. According to Theresa May, Prime Minister in England, she said he's been given enough time, we have all the facts, we have enough information, he hasn't responded in so many words, so we had to take appropriate action. And of course that's totally nonsensical, because there has been no report, no objective report on whether these chlorine gases and others have actually been used, and whether or not the government had anything to do with it. So, I mean, how dumb do they think everybody is? That's the part that angers. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams on. Ouch.
All right, folks, our next co-host guest coming up at the bottom of the hour or so, and we thank him for graciously giving us some more time. Few more minutes with Bill Beaman, and I just want to have you, the callers who come up next, just keep your comments or your question brief so that we can just get right to the point, and then we can get on to our next segment. So I'm going to bring up Frank from North Carolina right now with a question or a comment to Professor Beaman. Frank, come on up.
Well, yeah, I just find all these observations fascinating because you know, somebody was saying that, you know, you've got a minority. A small minority, you know, that are the ruling class that are running the country. We have the same thing in America. We have people that come from 2% of the population, Jews, who have a total stranglehold on our government, foreign policy, domestic policy, college admissions, publishing, news media, everything. Jews have a total stranglehold on everything. We, the American people, have no power at all, seemingly.
Well, do you have a specific question? Because we don't have too much time, Frank.
I don't like this guy. I don't accept his premise that this attack even happened. How does he know it happened?
Well, he didn't say it did. I mean, he's just saying if it had happened. Is that what you're saying, Bill, or am I reading into you?
The chemical attack?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we do have documentary evidence of people who were injured or killed by some kind of an attack. And the question is, what was it? We don't know exactly what it was. We don't know who did it. The assumption has been that the Assad regime did it, but we have
no, that's not true. That's not true. The assumption is that Israel did it.
Or someone
working on behalf of Israel. Some parties working on behalf of Israel, and the Zionists did it.
They were involved in this attack overnight. We provided some intel, and also, you know, some of these Zionists, they certainly have a vested interest in trying to create that impression because of their own interest geopolitically in the region. But we don't have
How do we know anybody died? I don't know anybody died.
Quite aside from this, I think that Israel has much more to be worried about with regard to ISIS than they do the Assad regime. ISIS has never threatened Israel. So they have every reason to try to maintain them. I think what they're let me entertain what you've just said and lay out this scenario. What Israel might be concerned about is not the Assad regime, but rather Hezbollah. If Hezbollah were to gain greater influence over the Assad regime, then Israel would see that as a threat. And it's actually a kind of a foolish idea because Hezbollah is also not a threat to Israel. Hezbollah came about because of Israel attacking southern Lebanon. And this was a defense force, and the defense force fought back against Israel. Hezbollah will never attack Israel unless Israel attacks Hezbollah. So the idea that Hezbollah is an existential threat to Israel is wrong.
All right, another one. Okay, let's go to Kevin in West Virginia now. You have a question for Dr. Beeman, Kevin.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
A couple of things. I'm hearing what you guys are saying. I think this whole thing in Syria actually started at a 666 and Fifth Avenue. I think Jared Kushner was the one behind this. And I think that's how Trump is compromised, is through Kushner and through his family. See, mm-hmm. I think the guy, you can only get his treasure or his family or his lineage down the line. And I think they got at him, and they did a coup against him last night, physically and politically. Watched the video last night of when he came out and said everything. His right eye's going crazy. He's not speaking how he normally speaks. His cadence is off. And he looks like and sounds like he's reading off of a script.
I think... Teleprompter is more like...
Well, yes.
Yeah, I think that there's no question that his remarks were scripted. I think that Jared Kushner, just to tell you, is a terrible influence, and the Kushner family is a terrible influence, and I wish that he would be removed from government. I don't think he belongs in Washington.
Bill, I do have another caller, and I'd like to hold you over for just three more minutes, so if you can just stay with me. Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back in the final few minutes of the program. Very colorful, entertaining guest, and certainly a lot of good feedback. And we're going to right now ask for one final call. Make it brief. One caller, and that's you, Manny, from California, with Bill Beeman.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a statement to the your guest. As far as his statement saying that maybe Assad did it, maybe he didn't do it. I've been following this for 7 years, okay? And I will not succumb to the shadow of doubt of what he's saying. My true logic and common sense tells me this man didn't do it. He didn't do it. He has no reason for doing it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much, Mr. Adams.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Manny. All right. I don't think there's any, question that really we don't have enough evidence of anything. But, you know, here's the part that bothers me, Bill, and I think you'll agree, is does it really matter whether people, children or not, are gassed or killed by some other weapons when, in fact, you can kill them with airstrikes? How many have been killed? Well, just look at Gaza within the last 2 weeks. How many are shot dead in the head? They've got cameramen shot dead. In fact, you have the Israeli soldiers dancing and laughing about it, filmed themselves on tape. So, I mean, does it matter if you kill them with gas or if you kill 20, 30, 50 people simply by blowing their heads off? Does it? I don't know. I mean, it's an emotional impact, but quite frankly, they're just as dead, aren't they?
No, these civilian atrocities are to be condemned wherever they happen, and you're absolutely right. The conflict between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza is equally horrendous, but here in the United States, you will not find people condemning Israel for those strikes.
Yeah, and I think that's what some people find so frustrating, yes.
I think that anybody who launches attacks on a civilian population deserves to be condemned. And there is no morality. There's no morality that adheres to one side as opposed to another. As I say, the Israeli strikes are equally heinous. I was very curious about the earlier caller saying that he thought that the chemical strike had been arranged by Israel. That shows you, among other things, that we really don't know. We really don't know who did it, and we'll probably be hearing in the back pages of the newspapers speculations and about the original chemical attack that will be very likely inconclusive.
That's the point. That's the point. You don't know. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the United States has taken the occasion to launch what is essentially a politically motivated strike. Let's be really clear about this. This is not something that is going to be effective. It didn't really damage the Assad regime. It didn't even damage their chemical facilities. But it was something that had a strong political message here in the United States, and that's why it was done. Done for any real military purpose, and I think the American people really should object to being manipulated in this way by our own government.
I agree, and I would also say that I don't really find I haven't seen any polling data yet, but I don't find that it was all that popular from what I'm looking at feedback on. Various YouTube news organizations, the public is, at least those participating, have indicated a strong disapproval of being led by the media and the government, and I quite frankly don't think it's all that popular, especially now.
As they say, this is the second time Trump has tried this, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
I hope that the public is getting wise to the fact that they are being manipulated. Trump hoped that he was going to get a bump in the polls. He hoped that this was going to distract us from the James Comey book that we're going to hear about all next week. I'm hoping that the American public is wiser than that and not getting caught up in this really politically motivated strike.
All right. Very good. You know, Bill Beaman, thank you for being with us. You're always very available, very open, and you're willing to take all kinds of calls. I want to give you my thanks, and if people would like to follow you and follow your work, how can they do that best?
There is now an historic book. It's called The Great Satan Versus the Mad Mullahs, How the United States and Iran Demonize Each Other. It's University of Chicago Press, 2008, and it is surprising. It's 10 years old, but it's still entirely relevant.
It is. Okay, so thank you so much.
Versus the Mad Mullahs, and anything, all of my stuff is available on Amazon, so just Google me, and you'll find it very quickly.
Thank you again, Bill, and I hope you'll come back again, all right? Thank you.
I will indeed. I'll be
all
happy
right.
to.
Take care now. Okay, bye-bye. All right. Well, folks, that was a very interesting and animated program. And, you know, we don't censor here. We bring everybody on. And, we had to move on. Did not cut Frank off, just to let you know. But we obviously have other calls. And you make your point, and that's good. Let's just make a point and then move on, all right, when we have so many callers. Let me bring up Art now from Pennsylvania, who also, I'm sure, is anxious to speak about this past day and week's events. Hi, Art.
Hello, Rick. Great show. Bill was a great presenter, and glad to be back.
So thank you.
I'll
all
just
right.
Give you, right.
Your observations on what's going on. Go ahead. You have the floor.
All right. In summary, what the two of you said towards the end there is actually pretty accurate. I think there was more loss of life in the Gaza protests than what we have there. And I do think it's politically motivated because you've got the primaries in May coming up throughout the U.S. This shows that, you know, the Republican Party and Trump being, you know, basically ready to defend the country. But let's think about this. They actually had meetings at the U.N. Security Council. They had Russia basically sent, you know, their leadership saying, get your people ready to go into the bunkers, okay? They were scaring the living daylights out of the entire world. They were ready to start a nuclear war, okay? Mm-hmm. So who's really, you know, doing this, all right? And I have to agree that it's a political motivation, but you can't play brinkmanship like that too often before you actually go over to the other side of brinkmanship by either not intentionally, it could be just a, you know, a stupid accident. So that's what I see about it. I haven't heard anybody talk about, you know, where's the responsibility of the leadership in this country not to risk the lives of hundreds of millions of American people over some stupid issue like this.
That's a good point, Art. I see a parallel here in World War One and World War Two. And I listened to Pat Buchanan on a little bit with Michael Savage, and he's an historian. He's a very brilliant historian. Basically, he gave all the false flags, and he cited them going back to USS Maine and the Spanish American War, and how all of these false attacks and false flags were just that. They were obvious lies to get us into war. But, you know, in World War II, leading up to it, we had an administration totally dominated by these gangsters from Wall Street, including the Secretary of War, Henry Stimson. And we had, as you know, some of the more powerful people in the Treasury. Most of them were either communist agents from the Soviet Union or they were sympathizers. And what they were doing was conditioning the American people to fear the Germans so much that it became a matter of Germanophobia. And, it was powerful. It was very effective. But you know what? The American people still didn't buy it. Poll after poll showed that they wanted Americans to stay out of another European conflict. And what did it take? Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was a deliberate setup and a deliberate act of murder by the Roosevelt administration of Americans. So you talk about, whoa, those people murdered Americans. Well, wait a minute. This government set up for murder the very same thing. Americans at Pearl Harbor. And we know what happened to Kimmel and what happened to Short, General Short. And it's a crime. That, too, is an act of barbarism more than anything because your own government has killed your own people. So what's this stuff about when a government kills its own citizens? Well, let's go back to Roosevelt, Mr. Trump. Let's go back to, Felix Frankfurter types, and let's go back to Brandeis, and let's go back to others. Now, come on. I mean, let's be honest about it. Go back to all the people. Morgenthau, he was one of the most vicious people in the Roosevelt administration. So,
tax, spend.
Now, that was Harry Hopkins.
Hopkins, correct. The other point is you realize there's over 100,000 hypersonic cruise missiles from Iran and Russia pointing to the eastern side of the Mediterranean. If they really were going to do something, the entire U.S. Navy would be sunk within hours, if not 24 hours. Okay? So then what would happen?
Well, did you hear what he said about nuclear power and General Electric? That's true.
Well, when
you talk
about General
Electric, often, haven't you? Go ahead.
Yeah. General Electric, you actually mean with the loss of their contract to Tesla and Westinghouse in Niagara Falls, it became J.P. Morgan Electric or Rothschild Electric. Yeah, no, few people realize that, you know, the Rothschilds owned General Electric all the way back since 1900, and also through JP, you know, through Carnegie, they took over U.S. Steel, all right? So I hear nobody talking about that, those issues. And why are those clans even working in the aerospace industry of this country when there's such a threat to the national security of this country?
The enemy within.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have General Electric and you have RCA, and these companies, private companies, exploiting the post-war situation where they were foistering a nuclear power on Iran. But guess what? They were doing the same thing to Japan, as you know. And Japan, in order to get them off of oil, was being foistered onto nuclear power. And that's where you have problems with Fukushima. And it goes back to, again, the same criminal elite who had the GE plant and the Mark, I think it was the Mark 300 plant, that had all kinds of built-in question marks and problems that would later come to be used. And you know, there's a lot of questioning about the computers that were used to effectively sabotage the plant at Fukushima. There's a lot of questions that have not been answered yet.
Right. Now, when you mentioned the Fukushima plants, also realize some of those same GE atomic power plants are in the Midwest, and some of them are actually on fault lines near, near basically major water sources like dams that could cause a major radioactive pollution problem in this country. Somehow that's never talked about, not even being addressed. Just let it, you know, it's on a song and a prayer, just hope everything stays together. So don't think Fukushima is not a real possibility in the American Midwest with these GE power plants also.
Exactly. Getting into other issues this past week and some of the economic issues, some of the shenanigans going on domestically, swiveling chairs in this administration, again, changes post. I see it as not lasting too long right now, is that Trump is finished, basically. When they dump him, they're going to dump him. What are your thoughts on what's happened with one of the major people involved, the Republican National Committee, as well as Steve Wynn's associates?
Well, we both know Steve Wynn is part of the Cosa Nostra, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's no surprise there. As far as you're talking about the sexual scandal with the one of the major fundraisers, the Republican National Committee, who was asked to, I just read it like you did. So obviously somebody had it in for him, and he's out the door. You know, why did they bring it up now? And why did they bring it up right before a May primary election? So I think the Republican Party is absolutely really concerned about politics in this country come this May primary. And that's indicated by, like you said, you know, Steve Wynn going, the other fundraiser going because of sexual activity, and this bombing in the Middle East. You notice it's all happening within 2 to 3 weeks before the May primary elections.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence, right?
Sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You also were sending out some information. By the way, art can be seen on noplaceforcorruption.com. Talked about Philadelphia property taxes hiked and due to the charter school fraud.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about it. First of all, they're raising the property taxes. Okay, no surprise. But they're doubling them and tripling them. So, for instance, they're talking about apartment complexes are paying $110,000 in tax. Well, the taxes take place in 2019, but they're changing the tax valuations right now.
Uh-huh.
So now they're going to pay $450,000 for the same darn property. Okay. Now, why did this come about? This came about in a big, big part because of the major debt they had with public schools in Philadelphia. Okay. How did that come about? It actually wasn't even the Republican Party that put them in debt like this. It was the Democratic Party. It was the Bucks County Republican Party put them in debt. That started with Governor Mark Swiker when the city of Philadelphia and their school says, we have a $20 million shortfall, help us out. Yeah, they helped them out. They basically helped themselves out to put the school in over $3 billion of debt, the public schools. And they put their boy in there, Jim Nevels, of the Swarthmore Investment Group, to privatize and go into the charter schools. And for his reward of what his work was done, he's now chairman of the Philadelphia chapter of the Federal Reserve Bank. Okay? A gangster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then I think I sent you some information on the history of the Jews and the mob by Myron Sugarman. Okay? And one of the things he noticed in there, just as a sideline, he says, Oh, Alan Greenspan, he was in a mob, too. He basically was controlled by the Vegas mob. Okay, so you can see it on YouTube. So you can see the direct connections between the Jewish mafia and the Federal Reserve Bank. Just absolutely, I mean, it's absolutely there. Okay, you can see it right in the way it's controlled. Direct connections to organized crime.
Unbelievable, but it's all true.
Right, I know. So that now, with going back to the schools, you know, we see that who got the contracts, okay? One of the biggest, you know, first of all, right now, as a result of charter schools, one-third of all the school, all the schools in Philadelphia, public schools, are now charter schools, okay? Who's the major owner of that? One of the major owners of charter schools is Mastery Schools, owned by none other than Jerry Lenfest, the same Jerry Lenfest who worked for Walter Annenberg. And everyone should read the article, AmericanMafia.com, the Meat, Article 194. And you will see there this legacy of Moses and Walter Annenberg tied right to the Capone Syndicate. Okay? So here it is. We put ourselves, you know, we have the Annenberg Foundation tied into organized crime. They basically run National Public Radio or National Baloney Radio. I forget. You had a name for it. I was just curious what you call
National
it.
National Baloney Company, yeah.
That's NBC. I'm talking about NPR, National Public Radio.
Well, I think we can say the same thing. National Pervert Radio, yes.
National Annenberg Gangster Radio, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I'm looking for a good name for him. So here we see that these guys have wrecked the city of Philadelphia's finances. And now they're saying, oh, well, we just have to raise the property taxes. Where is the accountability to prosecute these criminals? There is no accountability. They're not being identified any place.
And even that, at that, the sad part is, will the people go along with it?
The people are so, you know, people have been so dumbed down, at least they're trying to with the media, they can't even see what's right in front of them. Your property taxes have tripled because you have organized crime, Chicago Senate, Jewish mafia gangsters running your financial institutions and your schools.
Right, I agree.
Right, and the sad thing is, I put it in a place for corruption.com in the PDF file. I showed how it was repeated again in New Orleans, okay, and showed how the same scenario with the same criminals was repeated in Los Angeles School District. There is with Eli Broad, KB Homes, one of the Kaufman home, major home builders of the country, along with Wallace Annenberg, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
somehow along the line, somebody mentioned that when Paul Vallis, who was working for the Annenberg Foundation, wrecked the public schools for a year, went up to Bridgeport, Connecticut. And then he was trying to basically privatize and charter, you know, put those schools into charters. And for some reason, somebody dropped a dime on the judge, and he was asked to leave. And the next place he shows up is in Chicago, working under Rob Emanuel as a school supervisor. I wonder how that happened.
You know, huh? Oh, right. Boy.
Right.
Unreal, huh?
Yeah. Right, so,
so there are connections for the mob at every turn, aren't there? Huh? We're going to take a call in a minute, but the name I was thinking of before was the Republican National Committee fundraiser, and his name was Brody. That's, of course, Elliot Brody, who was forced to resign now because of this, you know, the stepping down from the Republican National Coalition and Committee because of these revelations that Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, had arranged a $1.6 million settlement with the former Playboy model herself. So, you know, Mr. Trump has a lot of skeletons in his closet, and somebody with that much against him in his portfolio can be easily extorted from, manipulated, and controlled in foreign and domestic policy. That's the point I've been trying to make for a long time on these programs. Okay?
Right.
Let's take a call. All right. You're on the air, Michael from New York. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Rick and Art. Yeah, you guys are so good covering all that. I just wanted to chime in. First, with the school budgets and property tax, Art. Also, bear in mind, you know, superintendents, for example, around here, $250,000 a year is their salary. Get a load of that. Those lard asses pulling that kind of money off the taxpayer, where in the private sector, if they were really that good, you know, will they ever make that money? Will somebody hire them for $250 a year? Hell no. So that's the other side of this, another variable in this equation of us being taxed off our property, these government people that don't produce a thing are making way overpaid. Teachers, $100,000 plus. Hell, I know janitors around here that make over $100,000 a year. They're janitors. Why go to college? You can't even make that kind of money going to college. And also, Art, with the false flags that get us into World War One, World War Two, et cetera. And also, I just want to mention, remind everybody, Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin false flag, and how we're supposedly got to stop communism so it doesn't come here, yet our government's totally controlled by them. They're in Hollywood. They've always been there. And now they've built up Red China and let them become a superpower. So everything's been BS constantly, guys.
I agree. No question there, my buddy. Okay, thank you, Michael. And, The funny thing is, discussing all of this, by the way, we have the chat room. I'm sorry I've neglected to mention it, but, you know, we've had such a busy day that sometimes these things just get out of control. So, you know, you can always access it. And that's chatango.com, the deadly experiment dot chatango.com for our chat room. Okay. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, by the way, his show is coming up again this week with some more interesting and diverse guests, some repeats, but some new guests he's going to have on. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.com. He asked me to remind you of that. Now, the thing that needs to be emphasized here, by the way, Art, again, is that all of these dots, all of these issues connect to one particular group, and it is embarrassing for some, I know, and, you know, I just have to say quite honestly that, you know, we have to face the truth. Now, it's not that everybody is bad in any particular way, because there are those who come out and tell the truth. But within these Kenites families, okay, these sons of Cain, you have just one big connective tissue. All of them agree basically on supporting Israel. And I have to mention Jerusalem Watch before we run out of time, that here they have the gall, that is this Israeli government, to praise Trump for attacking Syria again for them. And at the same time, what they have done to the Gazans this past 2 weeks, nobody should tolerate and put up with at all, especially these Christian churches. Here they have the gall, Art, to say, and this is the Israeli government, that now they will define the cameraman and the photographer who was killed, shot dead in Gaza, who is filming all of this, as a member of Hamas. And that some of those killed were actually carrying explosives and those terribly explosive stones. Can you imagine trying to get away with that stupid, dumb hogwash? I mean, that goes to show you how much evil and arrogance is in their heart. And this being Holocaust Month, we cannot forget about the, what is it now, 666 million who perished in these camps. I mean, you talk about adding insult to injury. How bad can it get? Well, Art, you know, I'm glad you came on in the last 20 minutes or so. You've added a lot of info. It's up on NoDisinfo.com's sister website, I call it. NoPlaceForCorruption.com. Don't forget both of them, folks. Art, in closing, I want to thank you again, and hopefully we'll be able to talk next week. All right, then?
You got it. Have a good day, sir.
Great job. All right. Art's always a pleasure. Professor Beeman, I think, is a good guest. He's very knowledgeable, and you may agree or disagree, but I think it was an excellent show. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye, and Yahweh bless his elect.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection, Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.